Well, a few weeks ago, I was invited to a lecture at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. That is where I did my pastoral training. If I'm entirely honest, the lecture seemed a little bit highbrow. Sherilyn and I both got the invitation. Neither of us could understand the title of the lecture. In fact, it contained a word that neither of us could pronounce. That said, I still decided to go. And I went because of who was giving the lecture. I kid you not, but the visiting speaker was called Dr. Strange. Now, I'm a fan of the Marvel movies, so you can imagine this was quite appealing. When I arrived, I was a bit disappointed, and it wasn't Benedict Cumberbatch, and there was no mystical, magical things happening there. It was, however, a fellow Englishman, so I was happy about that. He was no superhero, though. He was an apologetics professor. And that means that he spent his time training people to explain the Christian message to skeptics, training them to address their objections or answer their difficult questions. And as it happens, the lecture was pretty good, or at least the part of it that I understood. And as I discovered, Dr. Strange recently wrote a new book. And here is the book, in fact. I actually love the title. It is called Making Faith Magnetic. The book is co-authored by Tony Stark. The foreword was written by Magneto. That was a joke, by the way. Now, it is a really good book, and in fact, here is a promise. I will give this book away to the first person who finds me at the end of the service and asks for it, so you can have the book if you'd like it. But the subtitle tells us what the book is about. Five hidden themes our culture can't stop talking about and how to connect them to Christ. Now, this might seem strange, but essentially the author argues this, that in every culture, even our own, people cannot stop talking about Jesus. They don't know that's what they're talking about and might even be offended at the thought. But what the Bible says is this: Jesus is the answer to our deepest desires and longings. And we see those longings everywhere. Dr. Strange refers to them in this way: a longing for totality, a way to connect. A longing for a norm, a way to live. A longing for deliverance, a way out. A longing for destiny, a way to control. And a longing for a higher power, a way beyond our limited experience. And the reason I bring that up is because this idea is not new. It turns out that the Apostle Paul expressed the very same truth some 2,000 years earlier. That is what we see in Colossians 2, 6 through 15 that we just read. To give some context, Paul, a Christian leader, is writing these words to a group of young Christian believers. We need to remember this was a time when Christianity was new, when most of the world had never even heard of Jesus. There was, at the time, as there is today, many different philosophical and religious and spiritual ideas swirling around, many different ways to connect, ways to live, ways to escape, ways to control. And just as it is today, all of those were far, far more popular than Jesus. But Paul is writing to encourage these young Christians to stick with Jesus Christ. As we read, he wants them to stay rooted in him, not to be swayed by the marketplace of religious ideas. And in verse 9, he tells us why. The answer that he gives is, in fact, the same one that we find in Dr. Strange's book. The answer is that Christ himself is everything that we need. Christ is everything that we long for. Look down at verse 9, Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him. Christ is the fullness of God, and through him we have received fullness also. He is our totality. He is our norm, our deliverance, our destiny, the higher power that we look to. He is the way to connect, the way to live, the way to escape, the way to control, the way beyond our fallen experience. And that is what Paul even goes on to say, although, as we'll see in a moment, he puts it in terms of three things rather than five. And here is why I picked this text for Easter Sunday morning, because Paul links each of these things to Christ's resurrection. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus becomes magnetic. In his death and resurrection, he demonstrates that he is the only hope. He is the only way. He is the only way in, the only way to connect. He's the only way out, the only way of escape. And he's the only way up, the only way to safety, the only way to rise above the forces that threaten our lives. And that is what God says to us this Easter Sunday. That is why if we follow Christ, we should stick with him. And if we don't follow Christ, we should begin following him today. And so let's spend a few moments reflecting on those three things. Jesus is the way in, he's the way out, and he's the way up. Firstly, we see here that Jesus is the only way in. That is to say, Jesus is the only way to belong. He is the only way to find the true connection that we long for. In fact, the true connection that we were made for. And this desire for connection is something that has definitely come out very strongly in the last couple of years. Do you remember 2 years ago, we were streaming Easter Sunday when we were in lockdown? We did everything we could to stay connected on Zoom, but how long did it take for that to lose its luster? In fact, this is my first Easter Sunday at church in a few years, because last year I was even out because we were quarantining. And all of that, that experience points to something deeper, something fundamental about our humanity. As Dan Strange puts it, as humans, we have an innate sense of totality, that we are connected and part of something bigger. But at the same time, we don't feel connected. We struggle to find a sense of significance, to find our place in a big, bad universe. It's a bit like that time I got locked out of the house. Unfortunately, I wasn't prepared. There was no spare key hidden anywhere. There was no one I could turn to at the time. What do you do in a situation like that? Well, you do your best to break into your house, but at the same time, avoid damaging anything too expensive in the process. On this occasion, I walked around kind of scratching my head, thinking, is it better to force the door or should I break a window? Kind of looking up which would be most costly. As it turns out, there was a window that was open. It was tiny, it was pretty high up, but I was younger and more agile, and I managed to stand on a trash can and find my way in. But in some sense, that's a picture of what life itself can feel like. We can feel stuck on the outside, and we do try all kinds of things to break in. We change the way we look, the way we dress, the way we speak. We try sports, we join clubs, we join societies. We take political sides, we commit to a social cause, maybe we even try a bit of religion. And when I was in middle school, before I was a Christian, I remember I would try almost anything. I even tried a little bit of Eastern mysticism. For the Colossians, what were they tempted to try in order to belong? Well, this is where we get to the awkward part of the sermon. Paul talks a lot here about circumcision, doesn't he? And that is what the Christians in Colossae were being offered as a way in, a way to get better connected. And I wonder, it doesn't really sound that appealing, does it? But here is the thought. Becoming a Christian was social suicide at the time. So maybe they could be more connected if they submitted to this religious procedure. It is possible the pitch was made to them from the Old Testament. Ever since Genesis 17, circumcision had been a sign that God gave his people. It was something God commanded to mark them out as belonging to him. And in the Old Testament, of course, his people were the Jews. None of the Colossian Christians were Jewish. And so you could totally see how this would work. Why somebody might show up and say, look, that's great, you believe in Jesus, but if you really want to be insiders, you need to do this. You need to be circumcised too. We so often feel the same pressure, don't we? We find ourselves constantly barraged by religious, political, or lifestyle sales pitches. And this is one of the big hooks. Do this and you'll belong. Do this and you'll be an insider. But Paul doesn't want the Colossians to buy into this at all. Why? Because they're actually trying to be sold something that they already have in Jesus Christ. We don't need to do something else in order to belong, because, as Paul says, we already belong in Jesus. Look at verse 11. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, also you were already circumcised with a circumcision that we read is far better, something that God himself has done in Christ. A circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, Christ has already opened the door. We don't need to find some way to break in through the window. Christ has become that new diet, that new look, that new club, that new home renovation. He's already become for you whatever else it is that you might turn to in order to belong. In him you are already an insider. Through him you have become one, not just with the crowd, but rather one with the God of the universe. And you've been welcomed into the family of God's people. And notice how Paul links this to the resurrection there in verse 12. In verse 12, we have been buried with him in baptism in order that we might be raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. As Jesus died, we died. We die to all of the old identities that we might cling to. It doesn't matter today if you're old or young, rich or poor. It doesn't matter how you look or where you come from. As Paul puts it elsewhere in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. As Jesus rose again, we rose again in him and we now belong to him. We take on the new identity of his people. The only way in is Jesus Christ. Don't be convinced by anyone who tries to convince you otherwise. If you have him, you are already fully connected. You already fully belong. You have been filled in him. And if you don't have him, then know this. He actually is the answer to your deepest longing for connection. What better time to be connected to him than today, this Easter Sunday morning? So then, this is the first sense in which Jesus is the only way. He's the only way in. But secondly, we find he's the only way out also. Jesus is the only way out. That's our second point. And by this I mean that Jesus is the only way to experience salvation. And salvation, I should admit, is a very Christianese word, isn't it? Rarely do people come up today and ask you, how can I be saved? And even if they did, you might want to ask them one or two more questions. Why do you think you need saving? What do you think you need saving from? If you were to ask 10 people on the street those questions, firstly, they might give you a funny look, but then secondly, you might get 10 completely different answers. Things aren't the way they should be. And so therefore, I can guarantee this, probably 10 out of 10 people would say there is something wrong. Things are not the way they should be in every level of society, in our own lives personally, in our families, in the world as a whole. We all sense this need for a way of escape, don't we? In fact, this innate desire for a way of escape is just as deep as our desire for connection. In that sense, the world feels a bit like one of those escape rooms. I've never really done one of those. I don't know if any of you have. I've wondered at times if it might make a good elder team building exercise, or we could go along with the elders and deacons, have a good time. The whole idea is you get locked inside a room. There are clues to find, tasks to complete, puzzles to solve. You've got to find your way out of there, and there's usually a time limit. And life can feel exactly like that. The world itself is an escape room, except this isn't a game. Time is ticking. We need to make sense of it all. We've got to figure it out before we die or before we do something drastic which kills everyone. And so we put our heads down and we come up with a plan. What is the key? What is the heart of humanity's problem? We've come up with so many different ideas over the years. Some of them are religious, some of them are irreligious. For some people, religion is the solution. For other people, religion is the problem. For some, the puzzle to solve is a political one. For others, it's psychological. For others, intellectual. There are usually three different kinds of escape plan on offer. Some of them depend on what we do. We have to solve a moral equation. Some depend on what we know. We have to follow the science, use our minds, figure it out. Some rely on our experience instead. All we need is to become more spiritual. Ultimately, whatever it is, you get a sense that the answer lies with us. If only we can be good enough, smart enough, spiritual enough, then we could really get things moving along and make some progress. But in thousands of years, how much progress have we really made? At times, it can feel like none. And so we're inclined to give up. And maybe we don't buy into any of those pre-made plans. But we just do whatever it takes to make life more bearable. We try to escape through sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We try to get rich. We try to be famous, to be an influencer. Or maybe we just try to drown out the discontent. We flood ourselves with a barrage of entertainment. We try to escape. That's the point. We're trapped. We feel stuck. And what does this have to do with Colossians 2? What does it have to do with Easter Sunday? Well, the answer is, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, he has provided the way out that we need. This is the great news. This is what his resurrection shows. It shows that Jesus isn't just a teacher, some kind of religious guru. He doesn't just provide one more take on what is wrong with the world and how we need to put it right. No, Jesus not only defines the real problem, he himself is the solution. Now look down at verse 13, Colossians 2:13. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Paul uses this idea of death to describe the helpless situation we're in. After all, the grave itself is the ultimate escape room. It is the escape room without a door. There is no way out. To all appearances, death is irreversible. And even before we physically die, there is a sense in which we are already dead. Paul says we are dead in our trespasses, dead in our sin. That tells us what the real problem in the world is. According to Jesus, according to Paul, the problem is that all of us are rebels. We are all rebels against God. That's what this word trespasses means. You see, although God made us and loves us, we all turn our backs on him. We don't really want to follow his rules in his world. We reject him as our loving ruler. And we seek to live life our own way. We think we can make things better, but really, in actual fact, we make things worse. We've made a huge mess of our own lives, of society, of the world. We think that turning from God will make us free, but ultimately it leaves us trapped, it leaves us dead. It leaves us spiritually dead in this life and facing death in the next. In fact, the situation is far worse than we thought. But this is why Jesus Christ came. He came to save, to provide a way of escape. He came for our rescue. Through his death and resurrection, he came to break out of the escape room. In fact, he came to break us out. He came to rescue us from our sin and death, from corruption. We were trapped in death, but through him we can be made alive again. That's what Paul says. Jesus sets us free to experience new life now and a new life that will go on into eternity. His death and resurrection demonstrate that death is not the end. Death is not the unbreakable escape room. There is a door, and that door is him. This is what the Colossians needed to know, and this is what we need to know. This, in fact, is the good news of Easter Sunday. Good news that Jesus came to provide a way of escape, that he alone can save, that he can deliver, that he can set us free. All of us know that we need saving. In fact, people are trying to save us all the time, aren't they? Or at least they're trying to convince us that we can save ourselves if only we buy into their philosophy, if only we upgrade to the latest gadget. But none of these things can save us. And we can't save ourselves. No, Jesus alone can save us. He is the only way in, and he is the only way out. But also, thirdly and finally, he is the only way up. He's the only way up. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that Jesus is the only way to safety. He's the only way to safety. You see, the Bible often speaks of God as our fortress, our tower, our high place. The point is that through Jesus Christ, we can rise above the many forces that threaten our lives. For this is one of the challenges that we face in life. Sometimes, so often, it feels like the odds are stacked against us. There is so much in the world that is totally beyond our control. And so we tend to fluctuate between two extremes. On the one hand, we either dive in and take the bull by the horns, or else we just resign ourselves to cruel fate. We long for control, but we are not in control. And so what do we do? What are we to do? Do we bury our heads in the sand, or do we just live in constant fear of the numerous threats? It's like we're flying through a storm, and it's a pretty bumpy ride. We're constantly hitting pockets of turbulence. There's a lot of thunder and lightning in the world, lots of terrible storms, things to fear. Not just literal storms, but economic storms, medical storms. There are wars, there are global pandemics. Jesus even tells us of a spiritual threat. There is a real devil, a personal source of evil. That might seem like a strange idea to us, but it was common at the time of the first century for these young believers. Almost all of them came from a pagan background. They were used to all of this talk of angels and demons and spirits. And in fact, such talk is very common today. There is a resurgence in the use of potions and incantations and crystals. Many people today look at the spiritual realm with a sense of anxiety and awe. And whether it's the things of this world or beyond this world that concern us this morning, it would be easy to live in fear, wouldn't it? But that is the point of verse 15. That we don't need to live in fear. Because in his death and resurrection, Jesus has won the victory. As the risen and exalted King, he is now seated on the throne far above all those earthly powers. Look at verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The rulers and authorities here are most likely spiritual powers, the kind of spiritual powers I was just talking about. But the ultimate point is this, that through his resurrection, Jesus has triumphed not only over those, but really over anything and everything that could hurt us. Not that being a Christian exempts you from facing the various threats we might face. No, but being a Christian does mean that you no longer need to be controlled by them. There is a way up. There is a way to rise above them. In many ways, it's like we're flying above the storm. Have you ever done that? The storm is there below. It's very real. There are the clouds. There's the lightning. There's the rain. But you're flying above it. You can look down and get some perspective. Christ is the way up. And what a relief this must have been to these young Colossian Christians. As I mentioned at the start, Christianity was hardly a popular thing at the time. When it came to the spiritual world, Christ must have seemed a little bit like an experimental drug. They were used to following all kinds of superstitions that would keep the evil powers at bay. When their neighbor was worried about them and encouraged them to return to their pagan roots, maybe they doubted, maybe they wondered, maybe I do need a bit of that too. When the religious salesman showed up offering something extra to keep them safe, maybe that played on their fears. Is Christ really enough? Can we really trust Jesus to protect us from these things? Maybe we don't fear evil spirits, but there are a lot of things we do fear, aren't there? And people play on those fears all the time, just as they play on our desire to belong or our desire for escape. They appeal to our desire to keep safe. And so we doubt, we start to question, can Jesus keep us safe? And what Paul says is, yes, he can, yes, he will. His resurrection proves it. We don't need anything extra in order to belong. We don't need anything extra to escape. We don't need anything extra to stay safe or to rise above. In fact, Jesus Christ is our everything. All we need to do is to do what Paul asks the Colossians to do in verse 7. That is, to remain rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. If you are a Christian here this morning, what does the resurrection mean to you? Well, it means that you don't need to look beyond Christ to other philosophies or traditions or spiritual practices. You don't need to look to the latest dieting trend or financial plan or self-help book either. This is how you can avoid being taken captive amid the busy marketplace of alternatives to Christ. You can remember that in Jesus Christ you already have God's fullness. We have been filled in him. He's the only way in. He's the only way out. He's the only way up. Jesus might not be so popular today, just as he wasn't back then, but does that mean there's something wrong with him that you're missing out? No. It means that the world is missing out. the world is missing out, because he alone is the answer to the biggest questions. He alone is the answer to the deepest desires and longings of our culture. Dr. Strange got it right in his book, and in fact, I have to say, the lecture was worth it, and hopefully it's been worth it to gather here this morning and hear God's word to us. Hopefully it's been valuable to you, especially if you're not yet a Christian, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here because somebody dragged you. It's Easter Sunday. You've got to be here. Or maybe you're here because you came of your own will. You came because you are searching. Either way, we're so glad that you are here, because there is something that you need to know, that God wants you to know. Because the truth is, in your heart of hearts, you are looking for a way in. You are looking for a way out. You are looking for a way up. And you need to know that there is only one person who can provide it. No politician or political cause is going to help you with that. No religious teacher or spiritual quest will work. Whatever else you might try, it is really a dead end. And the reason is this, because the only way is in Jesus. And so come to him now. Ask him to bring you in into his family. Ask him to save you out of your sin, out of your rebellion. And ask him to take control, to raise you up, to help you live your life with him as your ruler. And do that now. Don't wait. What better time to do that than Easter Sunday morning? And may God grant each of us to know the resurrection power of Christ, the only way in, the only way out, the only way up. In fact, let's turn to him now, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this word of Colossians 2, 6 through 15. Thank you for just the way it powerfully shows that Christ is everything we need. And Lord, we come to you as those who are so tempted at times to stray away from him. But we pray that through this word, you would convince us that we have been filled in him. And Lord, we pray for those amongst us who don't know what this means, who haven't put their faith in Christ, that you might stir their hearts, that even what they've heard in this short time would be used by you to encourage them to turn to him. And Lord, we ask that together we might know and worship you, that we might be rooted and established in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.